we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio broadcast. And my name is Bob Arthurs, and I pray that you are saved and you are walking in intimacy with your Lord and Savior. I pray that you are so in love with Him and so active in pursuing the plans of God that today the devil is scared of you, that he's like, oh no, what is God going to accomplish through those people today? You know, the scripture says, the people that know their God shall do great exploits. And so I'm very thankful today that God wants to partner with us. I want you to know we got the best end of the deal with that partnership. So I want to commend to you today, Jits Concrete, 536-5804, right here in Brevard County. And if they could be of any assistance to you with your block or concrete work, I encourage you to give them a call. And we're very thankful for everything that God has done here in the past weekend with the great services that we had with the Refresh Brevard 2016 conference. And now we're just a short time out from the elections. A number of people have already voted by absentee ballot. I hope if you have not made plans to vote already, if you've looked at your calendar and you're going to be out of town, go ahead, do the early voting where possible, and pray, ask God. I am convinced that the people of God can, by the Spirit of God, come, set aside our own agendas and our own preferences and say, God, what do you want me to do? How would you be pleased with my vote today? And so I encourage you to start setting yourself towards that. This coming Sunday, we are going to be having Sunday night prayer once again for our country, for our elections. And after that is over, our new Sunday night format, by the way, is we have junior Bible quiz for those who are preteen, and then we have youth in our fellowship hall for those who are youth group age, and then we also have our adult service going on. So we have quite a bit of ministry going on and different places, and we're very thankful for all of that. So but this coming Sunday night, which I believe is like November the 6th, after the evening service, we're going to be having a chili cook-off and have a prize for whoever has the best chili. And so if you like chili, come out and be a part of that. I don't know if I introduced myself, but I'm Bob Arthurs. I am Pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and this is the Refresh Radio broadcast right here on WMIE. Today I want to take you to Isaiah chapter 48. Isaiah 48, and it says this in verse number 9, for my name's sake, this is God speaking through the prophet Isaiah, for my name's sake I will defer my anger, and for my praise I will restrain it from you, so that I do not cut you off. Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. For my own sake, it says that twice, I will do it. For how should my name be profaned, and I will not give my glory to another? So I want to draw your attention to this, and that is the reason that God deals with us and responds to us the way that He does, it is for the sake of His name. I want you to take you to Numbers chapter 40. Numbers chapter 40. This is a very familiar passage of Scripture. And I want to take you to verse number 10, because this is when the people had refused to go into the promised land. And in verse number 10, after they've had some discussions and they failed to respond to Moses and Aaron, and they failed to respond to Joshua and Caleb, pleading with them that God was able to bring them in. Verse number 10 says, "And all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before all the children of Israel. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'How long will these people reject me, and how long will they not believe me? With all the signs which I have performed among them, I will strike them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and I will make of you a nation greater and mightier than they.' And Moses said to the Lord, 'Then the Egyptians will hear it, for by your might you brought these people up from among them. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of the land. They have heard that you, Lord, are among these people, that you, Lord, are seen face to face, and your cloud stands above them. And you go before them in a pillar of cloud by day and in a pillar of fear by night. Now, if you kill these people as one man, then the nations will have heard of your fame, which have heard of your fame will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people to the land which he swore to give them, therefore he killed them in the wilderness. And now I pray, let the power of my Lord be great, just as you have spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression. But he by no means clears the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the father on the children to the third and fourth generation. Pardon the iniquity of this people, I pray, according to the greatness of your mercy, just as you have forgiven the people from Egypt, even until now.'" So what Moses was saying to the Lord there was this: you have shown great power to your people, and if these people, which have sinned greatly, there is no mistaking it, there is no denying that we here in America have sinned greatly against God, that we have embraced falsehood instead of his truth, we have embraced the philosophies of men instead of the wisdom of God, we have desired to be like the other nations around us instead of a vessel of distinction and honor. There's no denying that. There's no disputing that. And Moses doesn't even appeal to him on that basis. He says, "I want to appeal to you for the sake of your name." And so he asked the Lord to be merciful. He asked the Lord to defer his anger for the sake of his name. I want you to know that God still does that. I want you to know, however, that that does not mean that he is going to allow his people to drag his name through the mud. Now, in verse number 11, it says, "For how should my name be profaned?" Another translation said, "How should my name be polluted and profaned?" And the reality is this, that if there is going to be judgment, it first comes to the house of the Lord. And if there's going to be in judgment in the house of the Lord, it is going to come to the leadership of the church to see if we have kept faith with the wife of our youth, that we have been faithful to proclaim his word, that we have been faithful to live it out, that we have not been distracted and dissipated by the cares of this world, but instead of trying to be friends with the world, we have tried to love them with the love of God. There's a couple of different parenting techniques. I read of one recently where a mother and a grandmother were on trial for the death of their grandson because the mother decided that she wanted to be the cool parent for a weekend, and so they took their teenage grandson to a hotel where they did all sorts of drugs and everything, and their grandson died because they were trying to be cool. They were trying to be the friend of this son and this grandson. And even though the mother and the grandmother ended up getting ill from it, the grandson actually died. I want you to know that I love my kids, but I was not called to be their friend. I was called to be their father. I was entrusted to develop them. I wasn't entrusted to domineer over them. I was entrusted to equip them and shape them like an arrow in the hand of the Lord. We'll talk about that more at a later time. But I'm on good terms with all of my kids. I love talking to them. I love hanging out with them. But they know that I was called to shape them and mold them and train them up in the ways of God. So God is, and with that same philosophy in mind, he is not here just to be our friend and let us get by with all sorts of stuff. God is not interested in being cool. He's interested in training and shaping and molding me for the purposes that he has for. Now, I will tell you this, God is very cool. God is very cool. The adventures that you get to see, I mean, cannot compare with anything that the devil has to offer. Who else do you know that can walk on water? Who else do you know that can take five loaves and a few fish and feed a multitude that numbers into the thousands and the tens of thousands? Who else do you know that can raise the dead? Who else wants to use you to heal the sick and open blinded eyes and see lives transformed in the ministry of reconciliation? That is very, very awesome. So he says, for my name's sake, I will defer my anger. Is there anyone here this morning that is listening to the sound of my voice that is thankful that while you are running from God and fighting against him every step of the way, that he did not, in anger, wipe you off of the map? I am. Not only did he not do that, the devil, who would love to do that, was prevented from doing that because of the great mercy of God and the long suffering thereof. God has brand new mercies every day. How long do you want to go and run that risk? That's up to you. I have a story that, you know, I've talked with a number of people and who shared some experiences, and, you know, a number of those experiences with me. And one of those past things, somebody said, you know, it's really funny what you kids remember. And this particular conversation was with my parents. They asked me if I remembered somebody from 35, 40 years ago when I was just a kid and I was just focused on having a good time. And it's like, no. Well, they said, well, they were very instrumental in you getting the first car that you had. And it's like, I'm sorry, I don't remember. And they said, well, it's very funny what you kids remember. You didn't remember it. Your sister didn't remember him. Your brother remembered him. And memories are a strange thing. So I don't really know what triggers these different stories, but I remember hearing a story of a man who was interviewing people for a chauffeur position for his family. He was well off, and he was, you know, looking for a driver because of his business schedules. He wanted somebody who could drive his family, and they lived in kind of a rugged terrain, lots of mountains. And he said, now, as you are driving my family, he interviewed the first person, and he said, as you are traveling down the mountain, I just need to know, how close to the edge of the mountain can you get and still keep my family safe? And the first driver said, well, sir, I could get within 1 foot of the edge of the mountain and still keep your family safe. And the second driver came in and was told what the first one's response was. And he said, sir, I can do better than that. I can get right to the edge of the mountain and keep your family safe. And the third driver came in and he was told what the last guy's response was. And he said, sir, I can do better than that. I can get so close to the edge of the mountain that half of the tire is hanging over the edge of the mountain, and I can still maintain control of the vehicle and keep your family safe. The fourth guy came in and told what that response was, and he said, sir, I would deem your family so valuable that I would not venture that close. I wouldn't venture within a foot. I would stay as close to the center line as I could without running the risk of a head-on collision with your family. I would do everything within my power to avoid risk to your family. And when you think about those answers, I want to ask you, which driver would you hire? As you are considering the greatness of God's name and the wonderful privilege that we have, I want to ask you, which driver are you? How long do you want to stay on the very edge? how long do you want to try and straddle the fence between godliness and worldliness, between fulfilling the desires of the spirit and fulfilling the desires of the flesh? How long? Because I've seen some people who tried to straddle things that they weren't supposed to straddle and they weren't equipped to straddle, and the consequences of that were very painful. I want to encourage you to respond for the sake of God's name as quickly as possible. He said, and for my praise, I will restrain it from you so that I do not cut you off. If today you have a sin that you have been struggling with, I'd just like to ask you to join me this morning and praise God. Praise God that he not only didn't cut you off, but he's trying to empower you so that you live victoriously in this life. Verse number 10 says, behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. That word tested there means tried and chosen. Tried and chosen. And I am quite interested in the refining process, not so much the modern refining process. That's all technically and very precise. But in ancient times, the way that they refined things was, especially precious metals, was very interesting. You see, they would throw the ore, the rock ore that had the gold or the silver inside of it, and they would begin to heat the material up to a certain stage where it would begin to liquefy. And when the surface was floating with the worthless residue of life, they would begin to skim that dross is what it was called. They would begin to skim the dross off of that. And then they would heat it up, and because now there is more purity, and as the metal would begin to liquefy, there would be more separation, and they would continue this process. And it was like, I don't know if you've ever seen an actual gold medallion, but it says on it something like ivory soap. It says 0.99999% pure. In other words, they're saying they can't quite get it to the point where it's completely and totally 100% authenticated, free from ore. And that's just like you and I. Every day that we get up, God is putting us through situations. See, a lot of people, they don't like affliction. And I'm not saying that I relish it, but if it is going to empower me and purify me and equip me so that I'm going to come out more valuable to God and more beautiful for the purposes that he has. See, I don't want to be just a vessel, just a common, ordinary vessel. I don't want to be normal. I would rather be exceptional. And so every time there's a trial that comes away, it reveals something inside of me that the Holy Spirit wants to remove from me. And I go through the refining process where it becomes detached from me. It loses its grip on me, and the Holy Spirit removes it from my life. That's what the refining process is. And so it's a multiple cycle process. And I did some research on it, and I found that in ancient times, the way that the refiner knew that the metal had been refined to a thorough refining process and purifying process as possible was when he could look down into the molten metal and he could see his reflection. Now, I want you to know that's in the fire. You see, there's a lot of people, and they have the mindset that says this, oh, well, you have to excuse that. They were just going through a really bad day. Well, I want you to know that what was coming out during that really bad day, if it wasn't glorifying God, it was something that God is revealing as a problem area in our hearts and in our lives, whether it's anger, whether it's profane language, whether it's disdain for our fellow man, whatever is coming out of us during that time of adversity or frustration, it is something that God is saying, would you allow me to detach that from your life and remove it from you so that you will come forth as gold and metal and precious stone, as you would come out as a vessel of honor. And I pray that you and I will do that. So whenever you're going through a difficult season, first of all, don't say, God, why am I going through this? What, don't you love me? I mean, this is not fair. I had that conversation with God one time because when I go into my prayer time and God begins to hit his finger on us, a lot of times we want to do what Peter did with John in the end of the Gospel of John, chapter 21, where he looks up and sees John after Jesus has just told him what his end result was going to be. And he said, well, God, what about him? He said, what's that to you? You follow me. And I was having one of those things where God was asking me to surrender something to him that was displeasing in his sight that seemed extremely trivial. And I, this was a long time ago. And I said, God, how come you don't let me get by with anything? And all these other people are getting by with these gross injustices and blatant sins and all this corruption and everything. And God spoke to me in a very interesting way. And he said, is that really what you want? That you don't want me to make you into my image to a greater degree? And I said, you know what, God? That's not what I want. You have your perfect work inside of me. And so I like to respond to his still small voice. Verse number 11 says, for my own sake, I will do it. For how should my name be profaned? And you've got to understand that God works in us for his name's sake, for the power of his great name, a song says. And he repeats it over, and I am of the mindset that when God repeats something, he says it because he wants us to get it. He says, if you didn't get it the first time, hear it the second time. I'm doing this for the sake of my name. He said, why or how should my name be profaned? Now, a lot of times we think of profanity as vulgar language that people use. And I want you to understand that profane is a word that simply means common. And I believe that the church has been, to a large degree, guilty in failing to recognize the holiness and the extraordinary aspects of the name of God. We, like the children of Israel, too many times have wanted to be just like all the other peoples around us, not realizing that our name, the name of God, the fact that we are Christians, gives us a mark of distinction, and it raises a higher standard. You know, my kids, when we were growing up, they were no different than a lot of other kids, and they too would get corrected for things that other people weren't getting corrected for. And I said, look, I don't have the authority to speak into those other kids' life. Their parents should be doing that. But my job is not to make you ordinary. My job is to make you extraordinary. And so let's embrace the uniqueness of our relationship with God, that God wants to use us as a walking billboard, if you will, a walking testimony to the power of his great name. The last thing I want to share with you on today's broadcast is this: I will not give my glory to another. I will not give my glory to another. The gold, the glory, and the girls, those are all belonging to God. If you're a girl, the gold, the glory, and the guys. You know, those things belong to God. So one of the things that I do is I look to see what the scripture identifies as God. Now, I am very proud of the fact that he calls me his child. To those who believe on the Son of God, to those he gives the authority, the right, the responsibility, the privilege to be the children of God. That is a great thing. That God says, you are my people. I like that because I know as a parent that I will come to aid my children, whether it's a work project or whether it's a struggle they're going through. I want to be there to help them to overcome that. And so if it's disappointing news that they've got, I'm there to be a word of encouragement to them. That's what goes on. That happens with regularity. It happens with regularity. And I thank God for his favor. But it also says that the glory belongs to him. So I don't want to touch that. If God has accomplished something through you, praise God. Praise God. That doesn't mean to exercise false humility. There was somebody one time that gave someone a compliment and they said, "Oh, God really used you this morning," and said, "Oh, thank you so much." And they said, "No, thank God. Thank God." And believe me, I know those people that were being spoken to about that. They weren't doing that in an arrogant way. They were just being encouraged by the person in their mindset that said, "God used you today," and they were saying, "Oh, you know, that's a wonderful thing." Listen, pastors get a lot of negative feedback. Any positive feedback is just used to keep the air inflated. That I'm just telling you. So, some other things that belong to God, the tithe, he says that is his, that belongs to him. And so I don't want to be guilty. You know, it said of the priest in the Old Testament, "How have you robbed God?" And, he said, "You've robbed me in tithes and offerings." They were offering defective gifts. They were offering something from their flock, but it wasn't the premier. It wasn't the best of the best. And God says, "Okay, go ahead and try that. Offer that to your government and see if they will take that." One other thing to close out today is this. One other thing that God says belongs to him, and that's vengeance. "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay." Maybe today you have been living a life of bitterness because somebody did something horrible to you, and they just went off as if it was no big deal, and many times they have even forgotten it. I want to encourage you today, don't become entrapped by your own bitterness. Don't be victimized over it over and over again. Commit it to God and say, "God, you deal with this as you see fit." Now, I will tell you this. I don't want to see the people who have treated me badly, I don't want to see them get what they deserve. I want to see them receive a repentant heart so God forgives them and transforms them so they don't ever have that happen to them. They don't do it to anybody else, but they experience the goodness and greatness of God. We'll see you again tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, I bring you something new. I tell how great you are, I tll my praise to you is like an